And so I speak in the name of the one true and living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. The well-known writer C.S. Lewis, who, among other things, wrote the Chronicles of Narnia from Northern Ireland, he once said this, and see if you agree. He said, "You are never too old to set another goal or to dream another dream. You're never too old to set another goal or to dream a new dream." Do you agree or disagree?
Agree.
Agree, good, good. And I do agree. Age, in my opinion, is just a number. We might have to slow down a little. We might have to adapt how we do things a little. But I definitely agree that we are never too old to set another goal or to dream a new dream. Well, the reason why I share that opening quote is the hymn writer that we are going to look at today as part of our Advent and Christmas hymn series only really began writing hymns in his mid to late 60s, actually in retirement. So you're never too old to set another goal or to dream a new dream, to do something new in life. The name of our hymn writer today is a man called Fred Pratt Green. And apart from the children's hymn that we sang a few moments ago, all the hymns in this service were written by him. God is here as we, his people. When Jesus came to Jordan, and the hymn that we'll sing at the end, for the fruits of all creation. But all the hymns are written by Fred Pratt Green. Now, it's fair to say that compared to some of the big hymn writers, Charles Wesley, for example, Cecil Francis Alexander, some of the well-known names, Fred Pratt Green is not one of the most well-known hymn writers. And yet his contribution to our hymnal and many hymnals is far greater than we might give credit for. So who was he? Well, Fred Pratt Green was born in Liverpool in 1903. His surname was Green, obviously, but when he was ordained a little bit later in life, he began to use the name, the full name Fred Pratt Green, because another relative was the Reverend F.P. Green. So he was the Reverend Fred Pratt Green. His father was a leather merchant, also a lay preacher. He went to school in Colwyn Bay in Wales, and even though he harboured ambitions to be an architect, he ended up, for the early part of his working life, working in his father's business. And it was only after he heard a sermon on God's everlasting mercy that he decided to offer himself for ordination. His health was very delicate by all accounts, and he was very nearly turned down by the Methodist College. He did, however, graduate in 1928, and he applied to go on missionary work in Africa. But the principal, who in those days assigned where the new students went, thought it would be wiser, maybe less taxing on him, to rather be a chaplain in a girls' school in Yorkshire. But again, sometimes when you look back in life, you see God's hand, even when you don't understand it in the moment. Because while he was there, he met his wife Marjorie, who was a French teacher in the school, and they married. By 1938, Fred Pratt Green had taken up the role, as we might call it, a parish minister on the Ilford circuit in England. The Methodist equivalent to a diocese is a circuit. And he moved around a number of places, as is custom in the Methodist Church. Usually between 5 and 7 years, someone takes up a new post, until his final transfer to Brighton, where he regularly preached in front of 2,000 people. So he must have been a very gifted communicator. But it was in the latter end of his ministry that he is best known. In 1967, he was appointed to the working group of the Methodist Church who were looking at revising their church hymnal. And it was that inspired him to write 300 hymns and songs over the last 20 or so years of his life. And his hymns have crossed many denominational and national boundaries. In fact, he was chosen by the Archbishop of Canterbury, the head of the Anglican Church, obviously, to write and have the distinction of writing a hymn that was used to celebrate the Jubilee of Queen Elizabeth II. It's a wonderful distinction for him. "It is God who holds the nation in the hollow of his hand," was the hymn. He was awarded the MBE in 1995, and he died, age 97, in 2000, September the 22nd, 2000. Again, a great legacy that he leaves. And if we were to look through many of his hymns, we would find a number of themes that emerge. Firstly, the theme of faith, and then secondly, the great theme of social issues. Fred Pratt Green, in his hymns, is encouraging the singer not only to think about the important things of faith, but also to live out that faith. I guess we might call it walking the talk, not only talking the talk. So many of his hymns are very practical and challenging in nature. So what of today's hymn that we're going to look at? Well, if you have the hymn book before you, good time to turn to hymn number 133, which is the hymn that we're going to sing in a few moments. The hymn itself is based on the reading that we heard a little bit earlier, the story of Luke chapter 2. And again, let me give you a little insight into that chapter. The Jewish people had waited many, many centuries for the Messiah to come. So you can imagine the excitement when Jesus, the Messiah, comes to the temple to fulfill the law of the Jewish faith. And for two people that day, who are obviously very knowledgeable and devout Jews, it was a wonderful moment. And we come across the names Simeon and Anna. And Simeon's response, we know them as the words of the Nunc Dimittis, is to proclaim that salvation for all people has come. "For mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the light of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." It's a special moment as Simeon and then a little bit later Anna recognize who this child is, Jesus, the promised Messiah, the Saviour of the world. So therefore, as we pick up the theme of the hymn, it's about waiting, but it's also about that moment of great joy as the Messiah, Jesus, arrives. So let's look at the hymn and see what it tells and teaches us. As we pick up in verse 1 of the hymn, it almost feels that Green is beginning with the words, "Once upon a time." Once upon a time. Except this time, it's not a fairy tale that he is talking about. He is telling us the story that is true and that is amazing, the promise being fulfilled. He reminds us in the opening verse that God promised to send a Saviour to take care by faith of people's sins or people's burdens, I think he writes in the verse. That the promised Jesus would come freely offering love and pardon for those who would receive it. The gift of Christmas, the offer of love and pardon to those who would receive it. "Long ago prophets knew Christ would come, born a Jew, come to make all things new, bear his people's burden, freely love and pardon." The gospel message in a nutshell, the offer of love and mercy and grace and newness. Then in verse 2, we hear about this timeless offer and plan involves God sending his son Jesus, who was fully God and fully man, among us. It's an important doctrine in the church that Jesus at the same time shows full humanness without sin, but is also and remains God. God in time, God in man. This is God's timeless plan. He will come as a man. God with us, like us, among us. Then verse 3, it focuses on how God delivers that plan in the choosing of Mary, who responds faithfully to God's call to bear Jesus, to nurture Jesus, to raise Jesus. Mary hailed, though afraid, she believed, she obeyed. And then verse 4 is the pinnacle of the hymn, where the waiting is about to come to an end, as Jesus, foretold by the prophets, is about to be born in Bethlehem, a time of joy and celebration. Journey ends where afar Bethlehem shines, like a star, stable door stands ajar, unborn son of Mary. And in between each verse is a chorus. And the chorus reflects the wonder and joy and amazement of it all. And as it is sung, notice that it invites us to celebrate afresh what we call the Advent and Christmas season. What it's all about, it invites us with the question in a personal way to respond like Simeon and countless others over the ages to what God has done and continues to do and continues to offer through Jesus, that is pardon and love. Ring bells, ring, 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 who will make him welcome? An invitation to come and to stand at the stable door and to look in at the Christ child, the Saviour of the world born. And then we come to the last chorus, and I finish with this. It's different if you notice. This time it is in the present tense. Notice how the other choruses are in the future tense, looking forward to a moment in time. This time it's in the present tense. The waiting is over, and it turns the question in the first three choruses to a firm response. It's one I pray that all of us can say in our lives as we travel through Advent, as we prepare to welcome Jesus again, as we think about Jesus in our everyday lives, as we celebrate the arrival of Jesus, that once again, we in a very real and personal way would say not only that we, but I welcome him into my life. Ring bell, ring, ring, ring. Sing choir, sing, sing, sing. Jesus comes, Jesus comes. We will make him welcome. And as we journey to Christmas, that is my prayer, that we in this church, this group of parishes, that we in our own lives, afresh and anew, would make Jesus welcome. Would make Jesus welcome, not just for Christmas Day, but every day as we journey in faith together. So as we reflect on the great truths of this hymn written for us by Fred Pratt Green, can I invite us to stand and to sing its words together, number 133, Long Ago Prophets Knew. Amen.